Okay, so my name is João. I work for Elastic. And before I start my talk, I want to talk a bit about how this talk actually came to be. So there's a group of Slack organization that me and a few friends have. And one of the conversations that we were having, either technical or non-technical, one friend of mine was saying something like, well, I'm doing this work for a marketing company. And this company, it requires me to do an application that needs to analyze the text of news articles. And he knew that I worked for Elastic, so he was already saying, look, this is not really like text analysis. All I need to do is take text, break it into words, remove stop words, score words according to being relevant or not to the article. And for example, if some hit comes from a tabloid newspaper, I want it to be less relevant than from a proper news source, whatever that means. So this is a smart guy, and he's very proficient in Ruby. So his thought process was, I'm going to do this in Ruby. And he did it in Ruby, and it works. But he was saying something like, it's kind of slow. I actually had to do that everything myself. So I was looking at his description of what he had to do. And my thought was, well, that's Elasticsearch. And another person said something like, well, that's really interesting. I didn't know Elasticsearch could do that. That would be like an interesting talk, stuff that a search engine can do. So stuff a search engine can do is my talk. Smiley face. OK? So again, I work for Elastic. It's a very international company, 35 countries. I'm the only Portuguese working for the company right now. We have an open source stack that does data analysis. And this stack has kind of three layers. So the ingestion layer, getting data into the stack, Elasticsearch for storing information and doing analysis, and Kibana for interacting with Elasticsearch. For this talk, I'm going to focus especially on Elasticsearch. I'm going to use Kibana to interact with Elasticsearch, but mostly this is around Elasticsearch. And Elasticsearch is kind of this wrapper around the thing called Lucene. And Lucene is a high-performant, full-featured text search engine library written entirely in Java. It is a technology suitable for nearly any application that requires full-text search, especially cross-platform. And it's an open-source project available for free download, etc. Okay. So why do we need Elasticsearch? We need it because of these two keywords there, library and Java. So if you need to use, or if you want to use Lucene, you have to take your application in Java and embed Lucene library and use it directly using Java. So Elasticsearch takes Lucene and allows you to interact with it through a REST API. So you just do calls, HTTP calls, and then you interact with Lucene. Also, it allows you to take Elasticsearch, install it on different machines, and you can form a cluster. This allows you to have high availability, scaling out, et cetera, et cetera. Again, for this talk, I'm going to focus on just a single instance, and especially on what Lucene brings to the table in terms of data analysis, especially text search analysis. And text search analysis is essentially taking a block of text and doing some kind of magic to it. Okay? And we're going to try to demystify what a bit of this magic is. So the first thing that I'm going to talk about is document analysis. And document analysis is the first thing that ever happens when you put data into a search engine. And what that means is that it takes a block of text and it breaks it down into tokens and some other extra information, meta information, about the tokens that you extract from the text. And in Elasticsearch, this thing, this process, is done by an analyzer. And the analyzer essentially is a three-step process. So first you do character filters, then tokenizers, and then token filters. Okay? So three-step process. And by default, Elasticsearch already comes pre-built with analyzers, but we're going to see that you can also create your own. Now, this is better explained by doing. So this talk is going to be very demo-heavy. Hopefully everything works. But let's see. Let's jump to the first demo. Okay. So I actually took Azure, and there's a template and an offering for Elastic Stack. So it installs Elasticsearch and Kibana. I just took that in my demo account with bonus money, and it worked. So I have this installation of Elasticsearch and Kibana. And this is my cluster that only has one machine, but it serves the purpose. And here, I'm going to use a feature of Kibana, which is a console. And this console allows you to essentially do REST requests to my Elasticsearch using a more nice language than just doing curl commands. You can actually go here and copy this as a curl command and then go to the terminal, and essentially it is a curl command. Okay? Is this readable? Okay? Yeah? Sweet. Okay. So again, document analysis, text analysis. The Elasticsearch allows you to do just basic analysis to see what kind of tokens you extract from text. And the basic way that you can do that is using this underscore analyze API. And what I do is say, I want to analyze this text, and I'm going to pass it the standard tokenizer. Again, the analyzer is character filter, tokenizer, and token filter, all done in sequence. And for now, I'm just going to use the tokenizer. So if I execute this, so I want to analyze this word, this sentence, and the tokens that I get back is Philippe's, shoes, and yo. Okay? So you can already see that something's happened. So you removed the comma, the space, and you can use different tokenizers. You can use something like white space. And this essentially does what you think it does. It essentially breaks the sentence only looking at the white spaces. So you get the commas there, you get the period at the end, and you can also use more exoteric things like ngram tokenizer that gives you sequences of characters for that sentence. So F, F, I. You will see why this is important later, but for now you can just know that there are different tokenizers. The next thing is an analyzer, a full-blown analyzer. So not just the tokenizer, but actually the three steps. And again, Elasticsearch comes with a few. And the standard one, this one, if you look at it, it kind of looks the same as before, but there's like one little difference. I don't know if you noticed it. You can shout if you noticed it. If I go back to standard. So this is the tokenizer, and this is the analyzer. Okay. So the one difference here is that this token here was lowercased. And this is because, again, the analyzer has these three steps. And the standard analyzer has, at the end of it, a token filter that lowercases all tokens. So this is why you get Philippe's as a lowercase token. OK? Make sense so far? Cool. I speak fast, so please tell me to slow down if it's too fast. Now, these are built-in ones. Now let's create our own custom analyzer and grow it step by step. So I'm not going to go over the whole DSL language for configuring stuff, but just trust me that this is the important part, where you define your custom analyzer with a name, and it has a character filters, tokenizer, and token filters. Okay? And my first one is going to be super simple, only has the standard tokenizer, and no character filters, no token filters. If I do this, and I create this custom analyzer, and I give my string, which is he who controls the spice controls the universe, I'm going to get some tokens back. And the tokens I get back is essentially he who controls the spice controls the universe all separately. And again, this is not lowercase because I only have the tokenizer. So what we can do next is add some token filters to make it more interesting and give you more interesting tokens. So again, the same thing, but now I have two token filters, the lowercase and the stop. So what's going to happen is you pass a string, it goes to the tokenizer, breaks it into tokens, and then you apply two token filters. Okay? And what that gives you, if I actually execute the thing, is I have he who controls spice controls universe. So the stop words are gone. Every token is lowercased, but we can do better. We can add another filter. If you think about search, so when you do a search by, I don't know, vampire, you expect the results that are returned have things like vampires, vampirism, or other kind of variants of the word. So the way that you do that is you reduce the form of all tokens to its most basic form. And to do that, you can use the stemmer token filter. So at the end of the whole process, you can actually add an extra one called the stemmer. And it's this one. Okay. So again, it's the same thing, standard tokenizer, and three now token filters. The last one is the stemmer. So let me just do this and install this one. And now I'm going to run the same sentence again through this new analyzer. And what I'm going to get back is he who control, so it's no longer controls, so it's the basic form of control. And also, universe is now missing the latest vowel. So this allows you to match things like universal, universes, university, etc. Okay? So this is useful later on, and you'll see why. So far, so good? Cool. Yeah. Now, the only thing that I haven't used so far is character filters. And I'm going to show two examples of them. I'm going to use, sorry for the swiping. So this is going to be my more complex analyzer. And again, it has the same token filters. It has the tokenizer as well. But now I'm going to use two character filters. And these, again, happen at the start of the process of the analyzer. So I'm going to use HTML strip, which you kind of can understand what it does. It removes any tag from HTML. And also, I want to use this emoticons character filter, which essentially replaces any occurrences of the smiley face with an actual word called underscore happy or a word underscore sad. So again, if you are analyzing text, you want to reduce all of these characters to actual words that you can then search later. Okay. So using this, I can now go back to my actually have a more contrived sentence. So a paragraph here that has a smiley face at the end. And if I run this through the analyzer, you can see that the HTML tags are gone. They are not actually converted into tokens. And at the end, I have my underscore happy token. Okay? And then you can use this for example, sentiment analysis, where you actually know that someone put a smiley face there. Cool. OK, going back to my presentation. So now you know that document analysis works this way. You take text and you break it into tokens according to some process. And now this is used in two major things inside a search engine. It happens during indexing, and it is also during search. So before I continue, I want to kind of get the terms right and the terms that I've been using so far. So in Elasticsearch, when we talk about an index, we're not talking about the thing that you put on a table to make it faster. In Elasticsearch terms, the index is the actual table where you put documents in. Okay? So indexing a document, the actual verb, means putting documents into an index. And what do I mean by document? It can be any JSON object. So it doesn't have to be a PDF or the Bible. It can be just a tweet or something very simple like this. Okay? So I'm going to use these terms for the rest of the talk. So thinking about indexing. So you know how document analysis works now? And when you index a document, so you want to take this text and store it in Elasticsearch so that you can search later. What's going to happen is you take this text, you give it to Elasticsearch, and Elasticsearch is going to create this little data structure there that has the tokens that it extracts and also the document IDs where these tokens appear and how frequently does this token appear in all of the documents. So for a single sentence, you just break it into tokens. It has document ID 1 because it's the first one, and the frequency is 1 because it only appears once in all of my documents, which are just 1. Then I index a second document. A madman sees what he sees. Again, everything is broken down. The document ID is 2, and the frequencies are still 1. I don't have any repetitions. And the third example, I have a third document there that has some things that overlap with the previous sentences. So for example, universe appears in 1 and 3, so therefore the frequency is 2. Same thing for Mad Men, but instead in document 2 and 3, etc. Okay, this makes sense? Cool. Now, this is an interesting data structure. So right now you can, for example, if you search for universe, you know that you're gonna get documents 1 and 3 back. But it's ideal to have this structure as small as possible so that you can, for example, use, again, controls and controlled. It would be nice if you search for control and get both documents because they are both related to the word that you searched for. So the way that you index documents and the way that the tokens are stored in the index will influence the search. So imagine, for example, if you have used the lowercase token filter during indexing, you would essentially remove the capital he and just the normal he, and instead you have both hits on document 1 and 2 for that token, okay? If you use the stemmer, for example, then controls and controlled is gonna be reduced to control and document 1 and 3 will have it. And if you remove stop words, you're just gonna end up with this neat little data structure that essentially represents all the information that you have in your documents. And now you can search for control and you're gonna get document 1 and 3 back. Does that make sense? Cool. Okay. So this is one side of the coin. The other side is I already have this data structure and now I want to search. So Elasticsearch is a big project. It is almost like 10 years of code right now. So it has a lot of things that you can do. It has structured search, so things that you find often in most databases, like search by ID, finding exact values, ranges, group bys, etc. On the complete other side, you have geolocation and geoshapes, searches, and proximity matching and pipeline aggregations, etc. But we're going to focus just on full-text search. So doing matches, doing checking how relevancy works and boosting that relevancy, and other cool tricks that a search engine can do. Okay. So going back to our example and our data structure after ingesting 3 documents, we have the tokens, where they appear, and how frequently they appear. Here, I'm going to search now for control spice. So I go to Google and I type control spice. What happens is the same process of indexing is going to happen now to your search. So Elasticsearch will take this control spice and actually break it down into tokens too. So now that you have tokens on one side and tokens on the other side, you can just match them. So if you're looking for control spice, you just go to control and spice. So control has 1 and 3 and spice is 1. So you retrieve back documents 1 and 3. And this is what you get back, okay? Simple. There's one little piece of extra information that you get back from a search engine, which is the relevancy, so the score. Why is this important? Well, if you do a search, you want to have the most relevant things pop up first, and you never want to click on the second page of Google. You never do. So Elasticsearch will give you these numbers, and these numbers don't have to be interpreted from an absolute value. They just are relative to each other. And what you need to do to see in this example is that one is much higher than the other, or is higher than the other. And it's simple to understand why, essentially because this first hit has both controls and spice, while the other one only has controlled. So one of them has 2 hits, and the other only has 1. So this is going to be more relevant, obviously. So how is this score calculated? Well, in information retrieval theory, it can go to a lot of depths, but the 3 things that you have to be aware of are term frequency, so how often does the token appear in a certain document, inverse document frequency. If you do a search and that token appears in all of your documents, that's completely irrelevant, because if it appears in all, they're all the same in terms of relevancy, so you kind of can ignore it. So the more they appear in documents, the less important they are. And at the end, field length is also important. So if you search for something and you have 2 documents that match, one of them is 100 words and the other is 10,000 words, it's very likely that the 10,000 words one contains the word just because. It contains all the words in the English language, for example. So it is better to have shorter documents than longer documents. And all of this is neatly wrapped in this little expression called TF-IDF. So this is the algorithm for scoring documents. Up until Elasticsearch 5, this was the default algorithm. Since 5, it actually becomes something more like this. So this is the algorithm called BM25. Essentially, it still contains some of the core concepts. So these three concepts are still present somewhere there, believe me. I'm not going to go through this because it's math. But if you want to learn more about this stuff, you can see this talk by Britta Weber. She does an amazing job at explaining this, the algorithm step by step. There's a lot of intuition, leaps of faith there that are actually very interesting to see. So I'm just going to show you instead of going through the math, which is much, much better, I hope. So going back to my installation of Elasticsearch and Kibana, I have my little custom analyzer that we created before. So I'm just going to use that one. And I'm going to index our three documents that we saw before. So he who controls the spice controls the universe. A madman sees what it sees, and what if a madman controlled the universe? Okay? So I indexed these three documents, so I put it in the index. I can now check that they're there by just doing a simple underscore search. It gives me the three hits back. So you can see here in the results that I have three total hits, and these are my three sentences. And now we can do search, which is cool. So you can just use Elasticsearch's query parameters to do searches. So you can just do q equals a text, and it's going to do search. And if I search for mad, I'm going to get these two results back. Again, only two of the sentences contain the word mad. So I'm going to get these two hits. And if you look at the score, it's pretty similar, but one is higher than the other. And this essentially is because this sentence is slightly smaller than the other one, OK? Cool. What else? So there's other searches that you can do. You can now, as my previous example, you can just search for control spice. And again, this is going to break down my search into tokens. And then it's going to match with what I received. So you can see that this sentence has more score than the other because it simply contains the two tokens, while the other one only contains one, which is controlled. And I want to stress a bit on the point that the way that you analyze both sides matters. So we indexed data according to our custom analyzer. So things were reduced to their stem form, tokens were lowercase, et cetera. But when you do a search, you want to have somewhat the similar process of tokenizing your query so things match well. And you can see this in this scenario. So if I search for universal, and I use my custom analyzer, you're going to get results like control the universe and controls the universe. Again, because both sides were stemmed, and so universe matches on both. But if I just did a search and the analyzer was my standard one, bam, I didn't get anything. Because universal was not reduced to its stem, it does not match. Obviously, by default, Elasticsearch will be smart enough and knows that you have already used a custom analyzer. So when you do a search, it will use the same for your query. So therefore, when I search, I still get the two hits. Okay. So let's do something more interesting. So we saw that you can do searches, and searches give you a score. And that's nice. But you run a business. So you want to influence this score according to your business domain. Let's look at text articles, for example. So I have here an index that has a million, I think it's a million. Yeah, it's a million news articles. And I can search for things like Donald Trump, Jimmy Fallon, and Hillary Clinton. And I get back title, watch Hillary Clinton debate Donald Trump on Jimmy Fallon. Pretty good results. But now you can do things like, I want to search best movies Netflix on my news, and I can search them either on the title of the news or in the body of the news. And if I search this, I don't touch anything, but I'm going to get back as my first result, the highest score of all, it gives me like Netflix US drops Epix movies. So it's not really like a good result, and you can see that the news content is actually quite small, so probably has all the terms, so it kind of got scored better. So again, you have this business domain knowledge that you want to have things that appear on the title to be more important than the ones that appear on the body of the news. So you can go here to the query and say something like, I want to boost the score of this to 2. So I go to the title section here, and if I don't forget the comma there. By default, the boost is 1, so they're all treated the same. But here I'm going to say 2. So title is going to be somewhat 2 times more important than what appears on the body. And if I search this, what I'm going to get back now is my title is going to be the best movies on Netflix right now. Awesome. Okay? So this is how you affect. So you know that things are more important, and you kind of, in your queries or during ingestion, you can boost the relevancy of certain things. Another example that came from my friend is also, I want to score things differently depending on the source. So I'm doing the same query, but also I'm looking for these 2 sources. I'm looking at Tech Investor News, and I'm looking at Tech Radar. And I search, and I get a result from Tech Radar India. OK, pretty cool. But for example, in my business, I value Tech Investor News much more. So I want to boost that thing. So I do exactly the same as I did before. I just come to here, and for me, now this is 2 times as important as Tech Radar. So now my results are going to be Tech Investor News, etc. OK? So this is how you can influence the basic score of the algorithm of Elasticsearch. Cool. Yeah. Some nodding heads. Some. Yeah.
Just one question. Sure. Can you boost it negatively? Because if you have just 2, it's quite easy to one, 2, or the other 0.5. But you have like a lot of them.
What you can do is do a search in the form that you can search any source, but it would be it. Instead of like must be Tech Radar, you can just put should tech, and if it matches this, you can boost it. So you can search all of them, but then have a should. So it should match this, but doesn't have to, and you boost it. So I could actually remove this part, maybe we'll only boost this one. Make sense? Cool. Yeah. So the question is, if I search for only parts of the word and not like an exact word, so this will all come down to the way that you do analysis during ingestion and the way that you analyze during searches. So there are searches in Elasticsearch that allow you to do just regular expressions. So you can, when you do a search, this will be tokenized, but then when you do the match, you can actually have a slope, like a fuzziness, and I'm going to show that later. So you can actually have some things that are mistyped but still hit. And I'm going to show that later. Exactly. I'm going to show that. Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to show suggestions a little bit later. So what else? OK. So essentially, you know how document analysis works. You know how indexing works. You know how search and ranking works. Yay. But now I'm going to show you cool things like suggestions and more like this queries and etc. And let's see if I can do everything in my last 10 minutes. So I have another data set in my Elasticsearch, which is IMDb data. So I have 10 minutes exactly. So I have 200,000 movies there. I can search for things like The Waking Life. When I search, it actually still retrieves Waking Life as the top hit, so yay. One cool thing that Elasticsearch does is allows you to highlight the results and tells you where in the actual document your terms appeared in the document. Let's look at an example. So I search for, in the Internet Movie Database, I search for Sun, Explode, and Spaceship. Okay. And it goes through the plot field of the movies and finds me this movie called Sunshine, which is actually what I was looking for. And in my results from Elasticsearch, because I used this highlight fields plot, I'm going to get this extra field in my results, which says, in the plot of that movie, because I searched for sun explodes and spaceship, I'm going to have this little bits of strings that say, well, there was this sentence in my plot saying to explode the weapon, etc., and these things are going to be tagged. So then you can just take that, put it in your website, and when you return the results, you can highlight those pieces of information. And Elasticsearch does this very easily and very quickly, because if you remember about document analysis at the start of my talk, if I analyze this, all this meta information there, so this token is actually in the offset of 0 until 8, and the position is 1. So when you search for sun, space, etc., you can just go to that document, find the offset of the token, just zip into it, do an offset, and return the result back. And then you get highlighting. So that's one cool feature of Elasticsearch. Another is more like this query. So again, if you think about, if you have Netflix, if you're building Netflix, and you see two movies, and now you want to see suggestions of other things. If I saw, for example, Sense and Sensibility, this movie here, and I saw Pride and Prejudice, for example, this is an example from my wife. So when I do a search, I can do things. I can say to Elasticsearch the following. I want to do a more like this query. And I'm preoccupied with the field plot of all movies. And I want to search for, I want to give it as a reference these two movies here. And I give them the ID. And what Elasticsearch is going to do is take the plot of those two movies, analyze it, get the tokens, then search through all of the plots for things that are similar. So let's see the results that I get back. And obviously, I just filter for things that are popular because IMDb has a lot of stuff. So I get movies like Elizabeth, Becoming Jane, Pride and Prejudice, which is actually the Bollywood version of Pride and Prejudice. And I get other stuff, I don't know. I get Wuthering Heights, Mansfield Park. So actually, without touching anything, just doing a basic ingestion of data and doing a search and giving two documents, I get pretty cool suggestions that are somewhat accurate. Now, I want to talk about suggestions as well. So has anyone seen the movie called Koyaanisqatsi?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
It's pretty hard to actually type the freaking name. So I can go to my search engine, and I type this, and I get no results back, because I did some typo, and I don't know which one it is. So Elasticsearch allows you to deal with this in different ways. One of them is saying, well, I'm going to do the query, but actually, I'm going to introduce some fuzziness there, because things are not always perfect. So this essentially means that there is a possible edit distance of 2 to the original tokens from the ones that I'm giving you. And this essentially gives you back the actual document, and this is actually the right way to spell the movie name. There's other ways that you can do this. You can use the actual suggestors that Elasticsearch comes with, and how this works is that you do a search, but you also ask for suggestions on certain fields. So I do a search with my poorly typed version of the name, and I also ask for suggestions from the simple name fields of all movies. And what I'm going to get back is, I actually did not find anything in my results, but in the suggestions, I have this suggestion here, which is the actual proper spelling of the name. So if you think about Google, so you do a search of something that is mistyped, and it says, well, here are the results for what you actually typed in, but if you want, we can search you for this other thing. And you can just click on it, for example, because you already have this proper suggestion, and you can just search directly to Koyaanisqatsi, and you get result back. Okay? Click. Okay, so again, I'm not going to many details. This is just to show what kind of potentials Elasticsearch gives you. And all of this is based on document analysis, indexing of tokens, and searching of tokens. But it kind of gives you a basic feel of what Elasticsearch can do. My other last example is search as a type. So you go to a website, you start in the text box of search, you start typing things, and you expect results to immediately start appearing. And there are, again, multiple ways that you can do this. One way is using a special type of query called match phrase prefix. And what that does is it takes your input query and then uses just regular, basic regular expressions to see if anything matches, okay? So I have this, I want to search for Inception, the movie. And I'm gonna order things by the most important to the least important. So I start typing, I type the capital I, and I get Star Wars Episode 1, I Am Legend, etc. And now I type the second letter, and I get Monsters, Inc. Close, but not really. And then I type the C, and I get Inception. Yay. Okay? So this is one way of doing it, but it's kind of slow. So for each search that you do, you're taking that token there and just applying regular expressions to all the tokens that you have. So it's kind of heavy. The other way that you can do this, and this especially is useful if your business relies on search as you type as a feature, then you can, during index time, index all the smaller tokens of the words so that when you do a search, everything matches automatically without regular expressions. And to do this during ingestion time, you can use, like I said in the beginning, the ngram tokenizer. And the gram tokenizer will take a word like inception and break it into I, IN, and etc. So when you do a search, you are no longer using regular expressions, you're actually matching the IN, for example. If I search for IN, I would match immediately with this second token. Okay? So this is much faster, uses a lot more space on disk and memory, etc., but it will be much faster. Again, if this is important for you, you can do it this way. Yeah, so this is all I had. If you want to learn more about all this stuff and the rest of the stack, etc., there's a lot of resources, GitHub code. Again, you can use the template for just installing everything on Azure. We have documentation on the website. There's a book. We have Discuss forum where you can just ask questions. We have public and private trainings. And also subscriptions if you want us to help you through production problems or even developing. We can help you with that. And just the last thing, we're going to have the first Portuguese training in June. So if you're interested about that, you can come. Yeah, that's it. Questions?